I'm on the phone right now with Russ Hallett of the Russ Hallett Trio. Russ, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure.
Tell me, where did you grow up, Russ?
Grew up in upstate New York in the Tri-Cities area, Binghamton, New York, Johnson City. And it's a, you know, small town atmosphere that's located east of Buffalo.
What was it like growing up there in that town?
Well, it was great. It was a small town. There's a lot of, you know, local grocery stores, you know, local businesses. We had a lot of inner city. It was a city, but we had, our sporting events and competition that we had between each other in different sections of Johnson City. It was really neat. Had a lot of friends. It was a very enjoyable time in my life.
How did you get interested in music?
Well, actually, my third grade teacher gave me a banjo. And I guess that's where it started. And so I took lessons, but I really liked to sing, so I just used the instruments, eventually a guitar, to accompany myself in singing. Eventually, when I was in high school, we'd have shows, and I'd be asked to, hey, can you get a group of guys together and put something on stage and do some music? That's how I got started, and then I met Aldo Brizzetti, who became the lead guitarist of our group. He and I kind of started the whole thing and played locally the record hops at, when I was in my teens. We had a booking agent. His name was Bob Cullins. Started out with Russ and his pal Al. We eventually formed a dance band and got ourselves a drummer. His name was Jackson Chesky. He had a studio. His sister had a dance studio, and so that's where we practiced.
So what year was that then when it formed?
1958.
What were some of the other notable gigs that you played around town and maybe beyond?
Initially, we played at college fraternities and sorority houses around the Northeast, Cornell University at first, and we played in nightclubs, dance parties, and we went to Dartmouth College, Penn State, Middlebury. So we played the college circuit primarily initially, and then eventually our rock band went into like summer resorts in the Catskill Mountains. We played nightclubs there, and primarily upstate New York.
You mentioned to me about the fact that Dartmouth College was a really important place for you to play. Why was that?
We were so well received at Dartmouth. I mean, we were the first rock band to play at Dartmouth and at their winter carnival. I guess we became the big news on campus, and word kind of spread around, and we were asked to go to other colleges, but we played for the whole weekends at these carnivals for spring and winter. And that kind of spawned our busy schedule. We got kind of busy after Dartmouth. One thing kind of led to another.
So one of those things that led to another ended up being an audition at a studio. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, the studio, our agent Bob arranged for a recording session at Phil Federo's studio in Buffalo. We were still a trio back then, and we spent most of the day, I think it was a weekend, and recorded 8 or 9 of our original songs. Most of them were vocals, but also some other tunes. It was at that time that Frosty came out, which was one and only of the records that was released. So that was where we did our first audition. Our first recording work was actually in Buffalo. That's where, during that session, that's the day that we met Tom Shannon, a local DJ on WKBW in Buffalo.
And once you met Tom Shannon, what happened from there?
Well, Tom walked in while we were recording, and he listened to us, and he approached me with his big request, which was he needed a theme song for his radio show, and would we create a theme song for him? And so that's how the Shannon jingle was born. It didn't take us long to actually create his theme song for him, and he really liked his theme song so much that it got tremendous airtime, and Tom would play it on the air, all the time, about every 10 or 15 minutes on his show.
Wow. And so then that was something that you did for him.
Right.
You mentioned you had done Frosty in the studio, and that actually became a record. Was that a fairly good local hit?
Locally, I would say it was, because during the time that we knew Tom Shannon, he would also play that on his show, and he asked us to accompany him at some local record hops in Toronto, Canada, and around the Buffalo area. We went there, 2 or 3 times into Toronto and so forth. And during these record hops, the jingle was such a success, you'd think that the light bulb would have gone off for us, but it never did. Like, all of the kids, the fans, they would request us to sing and play the theme song.
Huh.
You know, Tom's theme song. He would tell everybody that, hey, Russ and the group, they're going to come back again, and we're going to do some more recording. And he would even mention that on the show, but we never did. We just played the record hops, and that was it. And the next thing that led into it was the actual release of Wild Weekend, which was really Tom Shannon's theme song as an instrumental. We did it as a vocal.
Well, Frosty, going back to Frosty, how did Tom Shannon's vocals get on that?
That I have no idea, because during our recording session, it didn't happen there. It had to happen afterwards at some point in time. We never gave him any permission on that. It just came about.
So basically, you had recorded an original song,
right?
And then later, without you knowing, he went back, overdubbed some vocals, and then issued the record.
Correct.
Did you know that it was even going to be issued out as a record when you recorded it in his studio?
No, I did not. Well, we didn't know that.
To kind of set a little bit more of the stage, I think you've actually done a good job of it, but you're playing record hops, you're playing the jingle because the crowd likes the tune. They like the fact that you guys performed it, and they're requesting a Tom Shannon jingle, basically. It had to have been a couple minutes long then or more.
Yeah, it was a lot of repetition, because we really, you can imagine how such a catchy little tune, just it was sort of over and over the same thing, just like Wild Weekend. It was a rather simple little jingle, basically, but it was catchy. And people like it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they still playing it 40 years later, I guess.
So then I guess for me, as I'm hearing you describe the events, you had an appointment to go into the studio. You recorded a bunch of songs, but when you came out of there, you really didn't have anything solid to show for, and you had no idea a record was going to be released.
That's right.
So you probably had somewhat of a surprise to at least hear Frosty on the air.
Yes, we did. We had a surprise to hear that, and it was Tom Shannon, you know, voice on our record. So we were surprised at that. That's correct.
And as I think mentioned then, there was no agreement whatsoever with Shannon or Darrow to do anything other than you got a chance to play your music for them.
Now, that's right. There was no agreement that ever existed as far as we know. I don't know. As I look back at it, I think our agent was a big disappointment on that regard. We just kind of went forward as a bunch of young kids, musicians and singers, and with big ideas that somehow we'd get some recognition and we'd become famous somehow.
What was it like then to hear Wild Weekend on the radio?
Oh, I'll tell you, when we heard Wild Weekend for the first time, we were absolutely furious. We just wondered how in the world could this come about, because that's definitely our creation, and we didn't even get a chance at trying to, you know, to work with it. During that time, we actually, after Frosty was released, we went back to the studio in Buffalo, because what we wanted to do after Frosty was released was to... We wanted a master tape of everything that we had recorded, including the theme song. And when we went back to that studio, it didn't exist anymore. It was gone.
The whole studio was gone?
Yeah, it didn't exist anymore. It wasn't that long of time, really. When we heard Wild Weekend for the first time, we were furious, but we didn't know what else to do about it. All we did was talk about it with our agent, and that's about it. We never talked to Tom Shannon at that point.
So you just had to let it go.
Yeah, we did. I think we were sadly taken advantage of. That's the way we felt, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. What direction did the Russ Hallett Trio go after that incident?
Well, after that incident, our agent arranged for another recording session in New York City, and we were still the trio, and we traveled to New York with Pat the Cat Montefiore. I don't know if you ever remember him. He played a saxophone. He recorded Autumn Leaves, and he went to Vegas, and nothing really ever materialized about that trip. If you recall, that we kind of ran out of time at the studio. It was a big disappointment. Right after that, our drummer, Jackson Chesky, he left the group, and we went with a new drummer. His name is Jerry Turek. We added a fourth member, a bass guitarist, and continued to play gigs over the next few years, mainly, you know, nightclubs, a college circuit, as we did before. But we never spoke to Tom Shannon after that.
And at what point did you stop playing music, or are you still playing music?
The only thing I ever do is, even to this day, I mean, we'll have Christmas parties. Now I'm in Florida, And of course, they always want me to, you know, sing and play the guitar. And still in my, here I am in my late 60s and still singing old rock and roll songs and playing my guitar. And Aldo, I'm in touch with him all the time, and he still picks up his guitar and plays. I guess up until just a few years ago, he would participate in playing, you know, with local bands in Johnson City. But I still love music and I enjoy it.
So then, just to clarify, although I think you already have, you have never spoken to Tom Shannon since that period of time.
No, I have not. I don't know what happened to him. Like, he left Buffalo, WKBW, and went someplace, and I don't know where. We just got beyond it. And of course, Wild Weekend has been a part of my life all of my life, because every place we go, we'll be maybe at a party somewhere. You know, we'll hear somebody will be playing Wild Weekend on their equipment, and I have to say, you know, that's something that we create. You know, and I'll sing the Tom Shannon theme song, you know. It's funny how it's one thing can be so significant an event in your life.
Mm-hmm. So I also have to make the assumption that even though you've gotten past it, you still may have a little ill will with the whole situation.
Yeah, you know, basically all we ever wanted was recognition. And we never got the recognition for writing such a hit song. Shannon and Tadaro did. So that's the thing that we have ill will about, is that we never got any recognition for it. And I feel bad about that. I mean, it's not even money. We just wish we had been recognized for creating that.
Tell me about what you and the other guys are doing these days.
Well, after our band, I went into computer information systems and worked for Honeywell and GE, and then I basically retired and moved to Florida, and I'm now in real estate. I'm an appraiser and a realtor. Aldo, he owns his little pizza business still. He's been in the family business for his whole life, and so he's still in the pizza business. Jackson Chesky, the drummer, original drummer, was a high school chemistry teacher. He's now retired. Jerry, the other drummer, he worked for IBM. He's currently still working with another computer company. Our bass guitarist, Wayne, was in construction business. He's now passed away. Mm. That's about what's happened with the group.
Any plans for a reunion?
We have discussed it. We were going to have a 40th reunion, but a couple of years ago I had a heart attack, and that kind of put that on hold. But maybe we'll get together yet. We keep talking about it, and we plan it, and we try to practice the tunes that we're going to do. And I believe we will have a reunion. We'll have a 40-somethingth reunion one of these days. I'd like that. So would Jack. So would Aldo.
Well, Russ, is there anything that you'd like to say that I may have skipped over?
Well, just a couple things. Aldo is still really, he just has a hard time getting over this, and he's very angry about it. Aldo has this very successful pizza business, and you know, and of course he's still in the music, and so he spends a lot of money in advertising on local TV in Johnson City, Binghamton area, and so he says, I'm going to use our jingle. So he uses the jingle in his advertising. As far as I know, in the local Fox channel, he put 4 spots on that American Idol, he uses it with his phone number, you know, there was Tommy Shannon Show.
KB Radio.
But, yeah, KB Radio. Well, he uses his pizza business with a telephone number, but it's the same thing with his playing the guitar, and he sings the song, because I didn't do it for him. But I figured if you ever talk to him, he'll tell you all about that.
That's pretty
so
cool.
He still does things with it today, so I think it's funny.
Anything else?
I was just curious if you have ever, in your conversations with the Rebels, have they ever acknowledged where the song came from?
I spoke to Mickey Kipler, who is a saxophonist with the original group. It was him and his brother, and then 2 other guys that are now deceased. But yes, because when I was interviewing him, I mentioned Russ Hall at Trio, and he kind of went off of that and said, well, let me tell you the story. Not in the way that he was an expert trying to speak for you, but rather he was very aware of what happened. That was the conversation, was yes, he knew exactly what happened. And he acknowledged the fact that jingle was what they used to do the instrumentation for Wild Weekend. See, they were going into the studio, and they were supposed to be cutting a version of Short Shorts, because Shannon heard him do Short Shorts at one of the hops. He said, hey, why don't you guys come down to the studio and we'll record that and something else. And so they got in the studio, and apparently your jingle was on their mind because one of them started doing that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, and then from there they just started doing the theme song jingles and instrumental, and they knew exactly where it came from. Well, Russ, thank you so much for spending the time with me and telling your side of the story on just what happened with the Russ Hallett Trio, with the jingle, and all the different events.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and thanks for the opportunity to tell it.